But it should be. One day it'll be a national holiday, and then we'll all take off. But I feel like a lot of people that enjoy 420 don't have jobs anyway, so they don't really need a holiday. I could be wrong. I mean, I know a lot of people do. I know, well, the NBA, they all enjoy 420, and they all have jobs, at least seasonal jobs. I don't know if being a basketball player is full-time, right? Or, you know, impregnating a lot of different ladies is probably an important job as well. So that counts as a job. But, yeah, happy 420, everybody, and welcome to the show, Movie Madness Show, where we're going to talk some movies and have an interview. My new best friend, Justin Willman, is going to call in. He's coming to Buffalo this week, this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, for five shows of magic and comedy. Comedy and magic. It's going to be magical. So he will be calling at the bottom of the hour, which is 9:30. In radio talk, so look forward to that. So we're going to have that in 8 minutes. So before that, I didn't really get a chance to catch a movie personally because I was very busy this weekend. You know, in anticipation of 420. That's probably what it was. That's what held me up. But, you know, Furious 7, still going strong. And that's the movie that you should see, really, is that movie with Vin Diesel. The late Paul Walker still made like 50. I think it made over a billion worldwide already. And what did it make domestically? I think it made like 20 million. No, I'm sorry. 29 million, which still puts it at number one. And number two is Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2, which is at a 0% rating for critics wise on Rotten Tomatoes, which is pretty exciting. I think there's a couple other movies. I think the two other movies have achieved that. Can't think of what they are. You know, if you want to help me out, you can. My research person. I think it was at Antonio Banderas, Sever vs. Ecker, maybe that movie, and one other movie achieved. So it's like I think a critic wrote, it's like having a perfect game. You don't want to mess with that. I think, and for just people wise, it's at the general audience, it's at 53%. But I'm sure most of those people are with families because. You know, or younger type people are interested in the Paul Blart Mall Cop. But yeah, the reviews are not great. People are calling it, because it takes place in Vegas. So people are calling it like one big advertisement for like Steve Wynn's casino, which whatever one that one is, just the Wynn or whatever, which I'm not sure which one he owns, to be honest with you. I haven't been to Vegas in a while. Do you know which casino he owns? No? All right. That's very unhelpful. You're the worst R&D person there is. Have I told you that? Yeah, I'm kidding. You're fine. But yeah, I mean, because he runs around the casino, and I'm sure it really isn't. I mean, if, I don't know, like product placement, I don't know if they got money from that. But it's already, I mean, it made $22 million. It's in second spot, and it's probably going to be on, it's going to make a profit because it was only made for $30 million. I don't know if Kevin James decided to take points or part of the percentage or what his salary is. I'm sure most of that was going to him. And, of course, his lovely daughter, co-star Rainey. Ranny? I don't know. I would say Rainey. It's R-A-I-N-I. Renana. Renana Rodriguez, who plays his daughter, because she gets second billing here on Rotten Tomatoes. So her salary is probably up there. So I don't know. Hey, you know what? If you've seen Paul Blart, Mall Cop, or, you know, it's probably a perfect movie to see on 420 because you do that and then you go watch Paul Blart and maybe then it would be amusing. I don't know. What came in and number three is Unfriended, which was filmed in, which is a horror movie, kind of like a found footage type deal in the Blair Witch model, but of the new age because it was filmed on iPad cameras in 16 days and it has a 64% rating and they surprisingly made 15.8. So that's nice. It's like a nice movie. Yeah. And then Home with Jim Parsons. Rihanna's still up there, but that's for the family. That's animated. And then The Longest Ride with Clint Eastwood's son, Scott. That's in there. That made $7 million. And then Get Hard, a movie that I talked about several shows ago. And if you want to hear that review, just go to the archive, which is online somewhere. And you can hear my thoughts on that because Kevin Hart was just in town, co-star, and he did not get a he actually they had to he decided to do a second show because the first one sold out so fast. So it was a 8:30 and a 10:30. And I guess in the esteemed Buffalo News, they said it was not, they did not give him a best review. They said it was, you know, funny, but not like for filling out arenas and making, because I guess he has really strict rules. He doesn't want to be filmed. He doesn't even want you looking at your phone, which is kind of rude, I guess, if you go see Kevin Hart. You know, it's probably like a whole night out. I don't even know how much tickets we're going for, but, you know, like he has security going up and down the aisles, apparently, according to the review. And, yeah, so, like, people aren't, can't even, like, you had to, like, put your phone away and be done and then just listen to him. So I guess for him to warrant that, it was not, according to the reviewer, not funny enough for that. But, you know, it happens. I mean, it's new material. He prefaced it. I think he said, you know, his first one, very funny because he talks about his alcoholic father or drug-addicted father and a lot of personal stuff, and this stuff is more, you know, I mean, he might be suffering from the syndrome where he doesn't, obviously, he's rich and successful now. So, I mean, there's always a new set of problems, but probably not as traumatic as having a, you know, horrible family or, you know, a drug-addicted father, overprotective mother. So, but comedy is pretty subjective, believe it or not. I don't know if you know that. Because, you know, what one person finds funny, another person may not. Especially when it comes to, and, you know, I think Kevin Hart suffers just from being super popular. And then, you know, you get that initial, like, people like you, and then they just want to not like you because you're on top for whatever reason. People dislike that. We like to build people up and then knock them down. It's a human nature type thing. You know, and Dane Cook has experienced it. He sold out arenas, and then he experienced a huge backlash. And, I think he is actually kind of still experiencing that. But he is still successful because I know he just bought two matching Lamborghinis because he puts a lot on. If you're on the Instagrams, you'll realize he does a lot. He posts a lot, and I think he actually named them. I forgot what he named them. But I think if you can buy two matching Lamborghinis, Lambos, as they're called, to people who know, you're doing okay. So it doesn't matter. So, yeah. But, if you want to listen to that review, go back and listen to Get Hard. And you can see how I feel about that. I think it was pretty positive. I don't remember, to be honest with you. And I don't know, there's not really any big releases coming this week. There's a lot of smaller movies. I was interested in seeing a new movie called with Jonah Hill and James Franco, which was, I think it was called The Whole Truth, kind of based. It's totally drama. Based on a true story, based on a New York Times writer who lost his job, and then a serial killer who, when he got arrested, used this reporter's name. So then he kind of gets mixed up in this serial killer's life and starts telling his story. And he actually might, I don't know if he, there's a possibility he might be innocent, might not be. So, I don't know how they got interested in this story, but it's probably something that they wanted to collaborate on. But it actually looks good. I mean, we know that Jonah Hill can act. He's fat again. So, I mean, I like fat Jonah Hill as opposed to skinny because he just looked weird. And, James Franco, I can take him and leave him. But he does as much as – and, you know, I think he gets his fair amount of hate as well. But he can act when necessary. So that looked – and it's a smaller release movie, so I feel it's probably actually good. It was playing at my new favorite theater, the Amherst Dipson Theater. On Main Street, if you're familiar with that, in the 716, because they have the best popcorn, according to me. That is not on the Rotten Tomato list, but that is out. And another smaller movie, actually, that's playing there with, what's the guy from The Godfather? Yeah, Al Pacino. Playing with Al Pacino and Ben Affleck's wife, Jennifer Garner. Which is supposed to be really good. I think it's called Michael Collins, about a rock star who gets a letter, an old rock star gets a letter 40 years late, written from John Lennon. So then he goes on like a heartfelt journey. That is out too. And then these other ones. Oh, The Water Divider with Russell Crowe. I don't know what that is about. That is coming out. I think he was involved in it. Could be timely for California because California is in the middle of a drought. I don't know if you know that. I don't know what it has to do with water, but... And then Adult Beginners, actually, with Nick Kroll, which could be as well, could be good. A lot of people know Nick Kroll from The League, a show on FXX. He's also a stand-up comedian. Here's the water divider is about an Australian man travels to Turkey after the Battle of Gallipoli to try to locate his three missing sons. Oh, and it's 1 hour and 51 minutes. Oh, so it probably has nothing to do with really dividing up water. I don't really like those misleading titles. I like when they say the title of the movie inside the movie, and then I really know why they called the movie what they called it, because that's very helpful to me. And The Adult Beginners is about a young hipster entrepreneur, played by Nick Kroll, who crashes and burns on the eve of his company's big launch. With his entire life in disarray, he leaves Manhattan to move in with his estranged pregnant sister, who is played by Rose Byrne, I'd imagine. So, there you go. And I guess, is it? It also has Joel McHale, Jane Krakowski from 30 Rock, Bobby Moynihan from Saturday Night Live, Mike Birbiglia, stand-up comedian, Jason Mantzoukas, who is also on The League. He is very funny to some people. So it looks like a smaller release. That should be good. Maybe I will see that this week. Nick Kroll also has a series on Comedy Central, if you don't know. A sketch series. Probably not for everyone, but, you know, he likes to do characters. He probably likes to get away from himself. So he likes to get deep into the character, which I can totally, understand that. Oh, but of course, I think nothing's going to stop the Furious 7 from making money until probably next month. That's when Avengers Age of Ultron comes out. It's going to be 2 hours and 30 minutes. Sounds a little long, but I know advanced tickets are already on sale. So that is pretty amazing. That is, I know that's got a lot of nerds excited. And everyone's coming back. Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Mark Ruffalo. Who, I like Mark Ruffalo because his name rhymes with Buffalo, so I like to pretend that his name is actually Buffalo and he was born in Buffalo. But I don't think he was. And, that is the phone. Hopefully that is Justin. Let me check, though. One moment. 91.3. Oh, hey, great. Hold on 1 second for me, Justin. Yes, that is Justin, so we are going to put him on the air. And we're going to have a great interview. Okay. Justin?
Yes.
Hey, how's it going, man?
I'm doing very well.
Good.
How are you?
I am good. Thanks for calling in.
It is my pleasure.
Excited
to come to Buffalo.
Is this your first time coming to Buffalo?
No. I mean, I actually used to come to Buffalo, I'd say, 5 or 6 times a year. I used to do the college circuit, so I would tour around, like, all the Erie Community College campuses, Niagara, all the Buffalo universities. This is like, you know, mid 2000s. It was good times.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was, but I mean, that was a while. Like, Buffalo's on the, we're better now. We're on the rise.
You're saying it's different. Erase my old preconceived notions.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, the bars are still open to 4. You probably discovered that, but yeah. I mean,
I did not discover that. I don't know how I missed that. I was probably normally crying by 2.
Oh, is it? You just did your show and straight back to
Yeah, it's a new world then. This is good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're coming to the brand new comedy club. So, well, it's a year old, but it's still shiny. Still smells. Still has a new comedy club smell.
I hear it's great. I'm very excited.
Yeah. So you played ECC? Did you play that? I don't know.
I used to play ECC. Yeah, we're talking like, you know, this is like 2006, 2007. I would do these college gigs. I would very often, like, for the ECCs, do noon shows in the cafeteria for students who I don't think knew who I was, let alone where they were. But it was good. It was good training ground, you know.
I can only imagine. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
sounds like I'm really selling my credentials high here by plugging my ECC nooners. But yeah, I had some good times. We had some good times.
Oh, I can imagine. No, I started at, well, ECC obviously for people is a community college, so it's very easy to get into. But you know, it was like 13th grade because that's where I started because I messed up in high school and that's. But
exactly.
You know,
exactly. That's 13th grade. See, there you go.
Yeah. What were those gigs? I mean, were people paying attention though, or like some of them?
No, they actually turned into some pretty great gigs. I mean, like what those gigs, you know, like doing a gig at noon, or I think at sometimes they were like 10:55 a.m. for people who didn't you know, who didn't come to see you, but then converting them into like lifelong fans was always my favorite challenge, you know, like walking into kind of a hostile environment and winning them over. I get way more, you know, joy out of than necessarily walking into a place where, you know, you could, you know, you've got people who will, you know, eat out of your hand. I like to work for it a little bit.
Right. Well, no, I see your point. Yeah. I mean, if you already have like established name, they're just coming to see you, but
great, but man, yeah. It's nice to know that you can, you know, convert a bunch of, you know, apathetic, half asleep stoners into loving your show.
Yes, and today is 4/20. Are you excited?
I'm
about
well
that?
Aware. I've taken my time to pay homage, and it's a good day. It's kind of ironic. What a cruel trick, 4/20 on a Monday, but you know, we'll take it.
For sure. Well, no, because I was reading your Wikipedia page, and you have a new show on Comedy Central.
I do. It's called Sleight of Mouth with Justin Willman. That is me.
Mm-hmm.
And it just premiered like 2 weeks ago. And yeah, one of the segments in the show, I go to a pot dispensary with Doug Benson, and we do magic for high people, which is surprisingly easy, as I guess as you would imagine. But we had a blast. It was the funniest afternoon of my life. So that's part of the special that people can tune into to celebrate this 4/20 holiday.
Oh, for sure. Well, yeah, because I read it and it said cannabis fueled sketches, and I was like, oh, I wasn't 100% sure what that meant. Like,
yes,
I think it's
worded to entice you to want to learn more.
Oh,
to bait you in, and I guess it did. Okay. So that's good.
Great. Are you friends with? I love Doug Benson. Obviously, he's a big 4/20 enthusiast. Are you friends with Doug?
Love Doug Benson. Friends with Doug through, you know, the comedy scene out here. We've done At Midnight together, and I've done his shows, and he's the best. He loves magic, which is really great. So for the bit we did in my special, he kind of was my assistant behind the scenes. I called him, you know, Heidini. He was my Heidini. And as long as I didn't give him an overly complicated task that required too much dexterity, he would nail it and find much glee in freaking people out.
Oh, I think everyone deep down loves, either people love the magic or the other half of people just always trying to figure out how you did that.
Yeah, you know, and what I love is I've kind of, you know, I've designed my show because I'm kind of both those people. Obviously, like, I wouldn't have become a magician in the first place if I didn't want to know how it works. But what I love about magic is just, you know, spreading wonder and, you know, adding a little bit of mystery into people's lives, especially in these, you know, jaded high-tech times. So I've designed my show to kind of cater to both those kinds of people, where just as much as, you know, we do, you know, great magic that gives people that, you know, quench their thirst for wonder, we often, you know, we also kind of embrace the cynicism and you know, show how some things work and let people in on the psychology behind pulling off a magic trick. So I think both sides of people get something out of it. Yeah. And it's funny, more importantly, I guess.
Right.
Well, that is the goal.
Right. First and foremost, you entertain.
Yeah.
And then you do the magic. Well, yeah, because you started out because you broke both your arms.
I did. I was riding my bike with rollerblades on, trying to impress some girls, bike blading. And I flew over the handlebars and I caught myself with my arms and broke them both at the same time. Was in cast for like 6 months. And my doctor randomly recommended learning card tricks as physical therapy to get my dexterity back. So that's how I got into magic.
Mm.
Yeah.
Were you trying to pedal? Like, you had rollerblades, so you're pedaling your... I don't know. Were you like...
You're pedaling. As you're going uphill, I think I put my rollerblades on the pedals, which, you know, they were not made to go together. And then as you go downhill, you can kind of coast on blades or bike, straddling the bike the whole time. It really sounds awfully dangerous and stupid when you describe it. And it probably, you know, I should have realized that. But it all worked out, you know.
Well, girls were, well, right, it sent you on magic. But were the girls impressed anyway?
I wouldn't be talking to you otherwise if, you know, maybe I'd become an accountant, you know.
That's true.
So it's all good.
Were those girls impressed, though?
I think they were impressed after. I mean, they had to call my parents and an ambulance. But I think they were impressed deep down.
I think that you probably won them over, I feel like.
I'll get them one day. No, we're all friends still. We laugh about it. Them laugh at me more, but we're laughing nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, because it's kind of all in the... Like, for those card tricks, I mean, do you have to have a lot of, like, a loose wrist?
You do. I mean, like, you know, I don't do tons of... You know, obviously the show that I tour with is kind of, you know, a stage show. But card tricks and that close-up stuff is my roots. And you kind of have to have that hand-eye coordination. You also have to have, yeah, a little flick of the wrist. And just like learning a guitar, you know, requires that digital dexterity skills, magic is kind of the same thing. So I was able to, you know, literally like heal myself and learn all this crazy stuff at once.
Can you do the, I like that one trick. Can you throw the cards like through the watermelon, like that guy, Jay?
Like Ricky J.
Ricky J, yeah.
Yeah, man. When I was in college, I lived, you know, on like the 10th floor of my dorm, and I would like get my window open just enough. And I would, me and my roommate would take turns seeing who could go furthest. And I was able to get it. I mean, I can get it maybe halfway across the football field.
Wow.
With no wind. Yeah. My accuracy, not so much. But I can get some distance in there.
That's still pretty
good.
Impressive.
Party trick.
I don't know.
Yeah. The worst part is then having to pick up the cards afterwards. You don't want to do it unless you don't give a shit about the cards and you're good.
Do you, so, I mean, you're pretty busy because you also host a couple of different shows as well, right?
I do. Let's see, which ones? I used to host Cupcake Wars on the Food Network.
Right.
Which now lives forever on Netflix, which I'm sure is being celebrated on 420 as well by viewing that program.
It should be.
They probably should do a special magic cupcake edition. And, yeah, that's kind of what people know me for.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I haven't seen the show, but... you know, I don't watch the Food Network because it just makes me hungry.
You don't need to. I'll say it's all good. You don't, you know, it's a show by bakers for bakers, and it's very dramatic and intense. And I'm just there to kind of, just to kind of hopefully keep it light, keep it a little tongue in cheek.
Right. Well, but I mean, obviously you enjoy hosting shows.
No, I love it. I mean, I honestly, like any kind of gig where I can get up there and kind of be yourself, and you know, hosting is a great chance to try out new stuff, you know, as a stand-up comedian, and any chance you get a chance to do that too, to hone your voice and just kind of be seen and hopefully get more eyeballs on you and more butts in your seats when you tour is, you know, is kind of what it's all about. It really is all about being an infomercial for the live show. For me, that's my favorite thing, having that instant gratification, being able to meet people and do the show and blow their minds. And anything that kind of gets the word out more about what I do you know, puts them in the seats, the better.
Right. Because you are, I mean, you're going to be down at Helium Thursday, five shows, right? The usual Thursday,
five
Friday.
Five shows. One show Thursday night, and then two shows Friday and Saturday night at Helium, the year-old, smelly, good, delicious new comedy club in Buffalo. And, yeah, I'm pretty stoked to come back, especially now that you say it's a whole new city and it's going to blow my mind.
Oh, for sure. Well, not a whole new city, but I mean, we're on the rise. We're probably a little depressed when you were here last time.
Yeah. Well, and I'm a whole new person than I was back then. So I'm sure I'll enjoy it on another level. It'll be great.
Yeah. Well, you're definitely like, I feel like the Saturday, the late Saturday is when you get a lot of drunk people into the show. So you're really going to blow some minds then.
Yeah. Yeah. Performing for drunk people and high people are the best. You know, there gets to a point where you can start to just go on a loop and do the same trick over and over again, and they don't even notice. And that's a glorious thing to behold. But I guess what you're saying is I shouldn't schedule anything too early on Sunday morning.
I don't know how fast you're going to jet out of town, but
no, I'll hang around. I'll recover properly.
Yeah, well, you gotta soak it like bars. I don't know what you do after your. I don't know how you unwind. I mean, do you just like to go to your hotel room, or do you want to like soak in some?
No,
local?
I like to hang. I'm gonna be coming. You know, we've got some great comics on the show with me. One of which is Daniel Kino, who's one of my best friends out here in L.A. And we've been doing comedy together for about 10 years, and he's fantastic. So whenever he comes along, it's always kind of a, you know, a Dave Attell insomniac type evening to follow. So brace yourself.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you could. Yo, he's going to middle for you.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Yeah, I know who.
Or
you're...
as he likes to think of it, special guest.
That's
the phrasing he would like me to use.
Okay.
Especially when I introduce him to girls after the show. This is my special guest. No one wants to be introduced as this is the opener after the show.
Right. So no, I like special. Well, yeah, I know you're the guy, the local man who will be opening for you as well. He is a hilarious comedian. So
yes, he is hosting. We'll have an awesome time.
Oh, for sure.
Come on out, and it's definitely what I love is it's going to be a different kind of show than you are used to seeing at a comedy club in a great way. I think it's kind of fun to shake it up and do something a little different. It's still a, you know, if you're a comedy fan, you're still going to get your, you know, your comedy rocks off, but I think adding the magic in there and kind of the way that I'm trying to do it and bring it to the people, it's been feeling really fresh. People really dig it. And, you know, like I said, nothing better than, you know, doing the show in front of a live audience where everything is different every night. Things morph and change. And it's why I do what I do.
For sure. You could probably do some street magic after the show, like for the 4 o'clock drunks, and you can put that on YouTube, and I think that would be a hilarious series.
Well, that's
right
the
there.
Thing. Like, for when the four o'clock drunks are drunk, I'm typically drunk as well, and I am not as good when I'm drunk. Like, you basically quickly learn how everything works. And plus, also, like, that whole magician never reveals. After, like, four drinks, that whole oath goes away, and it becomes an educational experience.
Oh, do you start telling, you want to tell the ladies how
well,
it's done?
Well, you know, I'm easier to unlock at that time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, start for that. Bring a notebook.
Do you, and you went on tour with Jason Mraz, one of my favorite rockers.
I did. Mraz is awesome. We did a tour together in 2007. Again, he's also a big Magic fan, and we decided to try to do something different in these music venues. And instead of, you know, having opening band, Mraz, I hosted the show, and so I did about 20 minutes up top, introduced the first band. They kind of did a trick with me. They did a set after their last song. I came back. We did a trick together. So it was kind of like a seamless evening, and people really, really dug it. It was pretty fun. Because I know I hate that, you know, getting the rhythm up, getting the energy up, and then there's like a 20-minute break between the bands, and then you have to get that energy up again. So this is a chance just to kind of have a flow for the whole night and kind of create a cohesive show.
Mm. Well, yeah, I mean, I feel like you're in the best of all, like the best of all worlds. You're in like the comedy world, the rock and roll world, and the magic world.
It's crazy. No, I, you know, trust me, I was a little geeky kid learning magic, but I really wanted to be a comedian and I really wanted to be a rock star. I settled for being a magician. It worked out really well because now I get to hang with both those people.
Yeah.
And none of them have figured out I'm a fraud yet. So it's a glorious thing.
Did you find, though, being on the with Jason Mraz, that like rock and roll groupies are the best? Or did you not notice?
I tell you, they're very devoted. Like, we see the front row packed with the same people every night. Obviously, you know, groupies, super fans.
Right.
And when you're a comedian magician, well, when you're a musician, people love hearing the songs that they enjoy over and over again. So that's why they would come every night and they would have a great transcendent experience. But with comedy and with magic, you know, punchline or the trick is kind of a surprise. It really, your best experience that first time, and it's really hard to recapture that same thing. So for me, I found myself having to force, you know, improv and changing it up just because I wanted those people to feel like they were walked away with something new and didn't see me do the same thing. So that was an interesting, you know, learning experience about the difference between comedy and music audience.
Hmm. All right. Well, I really love magic. So I look forward to catching your show.
Please come to a show. I'd love to have you as my guest. And if your listeners should say, hey, afterwards, let me know where they heard about the show. And, free hugs will be divvied out.
Free hug. I mean, yeah, you do the old meet and greet after the show,
of
right?
Of course.
And then,
yeah.
Do you still do a little magic for people if they want to see it, or is it
typically after the show? We just kind of take pictures, meet and greet, trade stories, that kind of thing. And you know, if there's like a new bit I'm working on or some new trick that I'm trying to workshop for a TV appearance, I tend to like do that for anybody I encounter. So, should that happen this weekend, maybe I'll bust out some tricks on you. Or I'll just kind of be a normal person and have a conversation.
Right.
Magicians tend to substitute conversation with having to show you a trick. So in recent years, I've tried to be as much of a normal person as possible, which takes some work.
Well, I mean, I imagine as a comedian, a lot of people always want to tell you something funny, even when you're just trying to be normal. So as a magician, do you get people like after show, like try to show you a trick?
People, yes, all the time. And obviously, you know, I remember what it was like to just be a beginner magician and be super excited to show something everybody I know. So I, of course, want to be a good audience. And, you know, oftentimes it's the same kind of three rows of seven cards that involve math and it's super boring and takes 10 minutes. But sometimes people will, like, show me something that blows my mind legitimately. And those are the best because my guard is down. I'm not expecting much. And I've had people just fry my brain. And I love being fooled. As a magician, you don't get to be fooled too often because you know a little bit too much. So it's really nice to see something that you don't understand.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, I get that. Yeah, I mean, that's great, I guess, if you can actually see someone do something great.
Exactly. It's great.
All right, man. Well, thanks for calling in, Justin.
My pleasure. Thanks for helping me spread the word. I look forward to seeing you at the show, and I look forward to seeing this revitalized Buffalo.
Oh,
I've always loved Buffalo, but I'm very much prepared to love it more.
Yes, you are. You got a whole. We got a whole thing. I mean, you got to have some chicken wings, of course. I'm sure everyone will.
Yeah,
try
of course.
But yeah, we got a whole waterfront thing now, and it's crazy. We got stuff to do. So it'll be amazing for you. Yeah, and people will come out because we love magic here, magic and comedy in Buffalo.
Magic and comedy in Buffalo.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday at Helium.
Right on.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye. Well, there you go. There's Justin Wills. Who is a delight on the phone. He talks some magic. I could imagine, after a show, people are probably like, he was pretty nice about it, but I know sometimes he has to get annoyed because he can't be, you got to get tired of that a little bit. They're like, hey, let me show you this card trick, and especially after if you just did like an hour and a half of card tricks. But I don't know. I don't know anybody that doesn't like magic. Like, who's like, I don't want to see that. Like, even if you know how it's done, it's still done artfully. It's like good. You know, it's like knowing, like going into a Quentin Tarantino movie because he always does it reverse. Like, you know the ending first, but he still does it backwards, so it's still worth watching. That's like a trick, even if you know how it's done. Or, well, I'm sure he's not doing the old, pulling the old rabbit out of the hair. But you like magic, right? Yeah. Like, who doesn't? Like, that's just, you know, you want to believe. Isn't there a part of, I think there's a part of everyone that wants to believe that it is magic, like David Copperfield type stuff. Although he kind of see, and he got rich. He's so rich, he was like able to buy his own island. But I don't think anybody believes he hovered over the Grand Canyon or whatever stupid trick he did. You know what his greatest trick was? Fooling that model into marrying him. Who is David Copperfield married to? What's that? Yeah, Claudia Schiffer. She was hot. I think they got divorced though. I think the illusion wore off. Oh, I forgot. I meant to ask Justin about hypnotism because I have to work on my hypnotism. Maybe next time. I think we became fast friends there. We really connected. So maybe after if I catch a show, he will help me out with that little hypnotism because I think that'll help me with the ladies or one lady. I don't know. But I think that'll do it. You know, we'll make it a short show since I didn't see a lot of movies. I don't know what's coming up next, but you know, I don't, if you need something to do this weekend and you want to go, I would just see, go, maybe I'll just see the Furious 7 again because it's that good. That's what I'm going to do. Or maybe I'll go see It Follows. I would like to see, you know, filmed on iPad cameras. Sounds a little different. I like things that are a little different. Or Child 44 with Tom Hardy. It's about child murder. Doesn't get funnier than that. Mm. All right. Is there anything you want to add? Are you good? All right. Yeah, I'm going to probably going to go. Well, I've been on a quest to get some grits, and that's been pretty unsuccessful. But I think I'm going to go get a grilled cheese. I think I know exactly where I can get one of those. So until next week, where I will we'll discuss some movies, and maybe we'll have a another great interview. And unfortunately, Jay Snow is not here because he didn't play me in. He's not here to play me out. He decided to take the day off because it's, you know, for rappers, 420 is a big day. Don't tell him I said that, though. He's pretty angry about it. But yeah, he'll be back next week. And maybe, you know, I'll have some special guests, some movies, and all that jazz. So, yeah, until next week, go see some movies.